Well, what's up on Silver Revolt? B-Mac is back on the phone, and I'm here to talk about one of the best metal genres out there, death metal. But you know what? You can't really talk about death metal without talking about the one band who developed a cult following behind it due to their controversial lyrics and their blistering riffs. I'm, of course, talking about Cannibal Corpse. And I got on the phone with me right now one of their two guitar players, and we're going to talk about their upcoming 15th album. That's right, 15, Violence Unimagined. So please give me a hammer-smashed face welcome to one of the guitar players, Mr. Rob Barrett. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Brandon? I'm doing well, considering all this crazy shit going on in the world lately.
Ugh, tell me about it, man. But how have you been doing, like, mentally during this time? Have you been able to keep your mind occupied with some different activities?
Well, you know, just staying home a lot, really. Working on music, that's all I can really do, is seeing that we can't do it out there for everybody at shows.
That is true.
So basically just working on new material just to have ready for next time around. Why not?
Yeah. Well, for those that don't really know who Rob Barrett is and they're just getting to know you, tell us a little bit about how you, when was the first time you picked up a guitar and you realized that you were destined to play it?
Oh, man, well, that was probably, I wanted to play guitar at a young age, but it took me a while to convince my mom to actually buy me one with a little practice amp. That was like 85, I finally got a guitar and a amp. I actually had one before that when I was 12, but I wasn't really playing it seriously. I was more kind of like air guitaring with it. And not learning how to play, actually, until I got the, you know, guitar and the amp in 85, so I was 15. So, yeah, if you do the math, I've been playing quite a long time.
Yeah. And in the group, you actually are the rhythm guitar player. Did you always have a passion for doing, like, the main riffs, like Malcolm Young, more than the lead riffs of, say, Angus Young, for example?
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes I've used that as, I've actually said that when it comes to influence. I would always say I was more into Malcolm than Angus, but I do leads as well. I'm not just a rhythm guitar player. I've been doing leads since I joined the band, pretty much, but I just didn't do as many as Pat did or Eric does.
Ah, okay. And let's talk about your new record that you got coming out, Violence Unimagined. And this is the 15th record that this group is putting together. I mean, it's amazing. And so what can you tell us about Violence Unimagined and how violent will it be?
Oh, well, I could go so many places with this, but... I mean, to me, it's just a new chapter of the band. You know, having Eric in the band now, that brings a new element to the sound of the music a little bit, and mostly in the way of the way that he plays leads. I think it makes a really catchy element to the song. You know, makes things a little more memorable, in my opinion. I've never been afraid of melody, but you have to be careful with how you inserted into the sound of death metal, because death metal is not intended to sound happy or anything. So it's, you need to be careful about how you apply the melodicness, and I think he does it like great. So yeah, we got a good batch of songs where we have, you know, three of us writing the music, and then four of us are writing the lyrics. Paul wrote lyrics to a couple of songs, so it just makes it, it has a lot of variety to it, in my opinion. You know, having all of us writing in a little bit of a different way, but it's all under the Cannibal stamp.
All right, I dig that. Would you say that this album has more variety than the past record, which was Red Before Black?
Well, yeah, I would say that, absolutely. absolutely, because, you know, especially with the new element of Eric writing, it definitely makes it different. So, I mean, for a while, we've just been in the same mindset of just writing the same way. You know, why are we going to try and write differently? We've been writing the same style for since the beginning, really. Just over the years, it develops, depending on what we're listening to, or, you know, we're just improving on our playing styles. It's just what comes out, comes out.
Okay. Which songs did you write on Violence Unimagined?
Well, I wrote Murder's Rampage. That's the opening track. And I wrote the music for that one, but I asked Paul to write the lyrics just because I wanted to keep his, you know, his lyric writing is an important part of the band, I think. So, and he used to always write the lyrics for all the Pat's music. So now that we don't have that element anymore, I just wanted to kind of, you know, I wanted to keep his lyric writing intact because I think it was like a pretty cool part of the band. So I asked him to write that one song, and then he wrote lyrics to one of Alex's four songs as well. Cerements of the Flayed, the final track. But, you know, moving on to my other three songs, I wrote Bound and Burned. That was the first one I wrote music and lyrics to. And then I wrote Inhumane Harvest. That's the first single that we just released last week. Music and lyrics to that. And then Follow the Blood. That's the fourth one that I wrote.
Neat. Which song would you say was your favorite to work on of the four that you wrote?
Wow. Well, I guess I would have to go with Follow the Blood because that's like probably the most different one out of the four that I wrote music-wise. Like, I've never quite written a song like that where it's just, it has this really sludgy, slow grooves thing going on. And then it has a couple of little fast parts here and there, but I think it's the most different sounding song out of the four, even though I'd like to think that all four of them sound different from each other.
Of course.
But yeah, I'd say Follow the Blood.
Okay. Were you a fan of sludge metal and always envisioned putting that kind of sound into a Cannibal Corpse song?
You know what? I actually can't really say that I was really into sludge metal, really. But I don't know. I guess it was more like I was listening to a lot of Old Sabbath, which obviously that's one of my favorite bands. So yeah, I think I was just really Sabbathed out at that point where I was writing new riffs for that song, and that's what came out. And I was just like, man, I want to use something like this.
Wow, I can imagine.
And it worked out. At first, I was thinking, oh, man, you know, I hope these guys like this song, because I was actually picturing, you know, maybe one of them thinking like, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't use that one with this band, you know. But I think it fits in fine, especially when you have everybody else, you know, playing, you know, George's vocals, Paul's drums, Alex's bass. It makes it Cannibal. It was just the most different one out of the four that I wrote, I guess.
All right. Now, out of the other songs that are on here, including Necrogenic Resurrection, Inhumane Harvest, Surround, Kill, Devour, and Slowly Sawn, just to name a few, which one of those songs that you didn't write did you enjoy playing and you thought was incredible?
Oh, well, I mean, I can't really pick one of them. Probably I'd say Surround, Kill, Devour is like one of the best songs off of the record, in my opinion, just because of there's a lot of high speed picking going on, especially in the middle part. And just the overall variety of the riffs, it's just a well-written song, and it takes you into a different bunch of places all in one song, in my opinion. So yeah, I picked Surround, Kill, Devour. And that's a Webster song, by the way.
Oh, that's a Webster song? Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, Alex, he wrote the music and lyrics to that one.
All right. Well, I can't wait to, when I get a copy, I can't wait to listen to it and get a good, better take on it.
I mean, it'll be out, you know, you need to wait until April, I guess.
Yeah, I gotta wait that long. Or, you know, I'm a writer. I usually get them pretty early, and I get a good sense.
Yeah. With any luck, maybe you get some sort of advanced copy or something.
Oh, I'm counting my blessings on that one, on Rob. Believe me. And also, this is actually the second record where Eric actually also produces for you guys. What does he bring to the table in production-wise compared to the other producers that you've worked with?
Well, actually, this is his fourth.
Oh, I didn't realize that was his fourth.
Yeah, he did the Kill record. You know, that was the first one that he did with us. And that was 05, 06. I can't remember the year exact. But, Kill was the first record he produced. And then he did Evisceration, Plague, and Torture as well. So, he also did Red Before Black. So, he's already done four. This is his fifth one.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you for correcting me. Well, what makes you keep coming back to him to handle production? What does he do that's different from, like, say, Mark Lewis, who did A Skeletal Domain?
Skeletal Domain, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing with Eric is we've been such good friends with him since, I think I met him in 89 when he was in Ripping Corpse. So, we've all known him for a really long time, and he's just been a good friend of ours all these years, and as soon as we started working with him, we just realized, well, wow, this feels like he's in the band, you know, that was like the vibe that I was getting off of him. I was like saying in interviews for past records, like, I always considered him as like the sixth member of the band. When we're working in the studio, I didn't feel like he was just the producer. Like, I almost felt like he was in the band, really. Because he's a guitar player, he's a vocalist, he's been doing death metal as long as we have. So that was just the complete vibe that I was getting. It was like, wow, he's like part of the band, really. And, you know, it was different with Mark. He was younger, you know, has a different approach. Not that we didn't like what we did with him, you know. We just felt like a little more in the pocket with Eric. So, yeah, I mean, I can't, like, say anything bad about Mark Lewis. We did a good record with him. And, you know, we were just, we liked the vibe with Eric, because it was like he felt like he was part of the band, like I keep saying, and now he's in the band. So it just all makes sense.
It just naturally came together.
Yeah, it was just a natural, it was one of those no-brainer things.
Well,
I mean, especially if he's been playing our style of music as long as us, like, I think he understands more than any other producer could what we're going for, sound-wise and tone-wise with everything, and he was just really on the same page with us when it came to just tones and stuff like that.
That's neat. I like that. Rob, I want to ask you, I'm pretty sure you get this question a lot, but Cannibal Corpse has always been shrouded by controversy when it came to its lyrics, its album covers, and the names of its songs. But I have to believe that there is a meaning behind, you know, why you tackle on those issues. Why you tackle on those kind of words and whatnot. So, can you tell me, like, why you guys kind of go very extreme with your album covers and your lyrics?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple explanation. Like, when we were growing up and first getting into metal, it just went from one level of extreme to the next. And, you know, when it came our turn, we just wanted to take it to that next level. And just the combination of that, you know, listening to the most extreme metal that we could find, and just taking that and wanting to make it that much more extreme, it just made sense in the evolution of extreme metal to just try and take it to that next level. And the whole thing about the gore lyrics and everything, you know, that basically just comes along with wanting to try and make the vibe of the lyrical content match the darkness of the music that we wanted to write. You know, because if you're wanting to write, you know, the heaviest shit that you could try and come up with, you want the lyrics to match the whole vibe. You can't, you know, write love songs and, you know.
No, absolutely not.
Stuff that's not too extreme, like, it wouldn't work with the extremity of the music that we were writing. I think if we would have written about anything less controversial, I guess you could say, it would have watered down the music.
Okay.
If that makes any sense, you know, like, it just...
It does.
It wouldn't have been as heavy if we were talking about something other than violent stuff.
Okay.
I mean, we were all into a lot of horror movies and shit when we were kids, so... I mean, that had a lot to do with it, too. Just, like, you know, watching a lot of gory movies and stuff like that, and just wanting to incorporate that into the band, if that's what you're into.
Yeah, I could definitely see the horror influences when it comes to the album covers, as well as the song titles, so I knew you had to be into scary movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a no-brainer question, really. Like, if you... start a band and name it Cannibal Corpse, you either have to go all the way, you know, you can't go halfway with that, with, you know, the extremity of everything. So the lyrics had to just be over the top as well, because the music was, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So I want to go into my one of my favorite things about you guys is you actually one of the biggest publicity moments for you guys was when you were featured in Jim Carrey's movie Ace Ventura. You were the metal band that was in that one club. And of course, yeah. I never knew Jim Carrey was like a death metal fan, so I thought that was pretty damn cool. What was it like just being on the set? I know it was more of a cameo and you were performing a show, but what was the atmosphere like when you were shooting that scene with him, especially the deleted scene where he comes on stage and sings with you?
Yeah, well, that's funny that you said a cameo, because the name of the venue is called the Cameo Theater.
No way.
South Beach, Miami. And, yeah, that was just a really lucky break for us, you could say, because, I mean, we never in a million years imagined that we were going to get offered to do something like that, you know? We were just content playing clubs and touring and recording albums. We felt lucky enough doing just that. But, you know, getting offered to be in a movie, that was just like, wow, it was kind of surreal. Like, is this really happening? And, yeah, we just flew down there from Buffalo and, you know, shot those scenes over a day or a couple days. And, yeah, Jim Carrey was like, I remember he was on some talk show talking about Napalm Death. And I just think he was really entertained by the whole, like, noisiness of it, because he was, like, doing an impersonation of Napalm Death on that talk show and, like, you know. And I just think he was really entertained by the whole sound of, you know, like, what we were doing. And for some reason, he picked us, you know. He was like, yeah, I want Cannibal Corpse. And we actually had a tour booked already when he wanted us to come down and shoot for it. And we were just like, wow, we'd love to do it, but we already have obligations with the tour. We can't cancel a tour to do something else, you know. That, like, comes down on your reputation.
Sure.
So he... as far as I recall, he personally, like, told the directors, like, well, you know, let's move the band shooting scene back until they can come down and do it. So, like, they waited for us to get home from a tour to shoot that. And, you know, that's pretty crazy that he actually would go out of his way to specifically get us to do that, because he could have easily just been like, oh, well, they're busy, let's just kick somebody else. And he really wanted us in there. So, yeah, it was just a really lucky thing for us. And, yeah, what a better way to promote your band, you know, to be in a, you know, a top-selling box office hit movie that year. So that was just a great worldwide advertisement for our band, and it took us up a notch or two, I think, status wise.
Yeah,
those people that didn't even listen to death metal all of a sudden were curious about it.
Yeah, especially the song Hammer Smash Face, and that was my first time being exposed by you guys as well. And I couldn't understand Chris Barnes, I think, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't understand what he was saying when he was singing the lyrics, but I was really into his guttural voice, that and Jim Carrey's like little dancing to the music. I was like, that is just...
Oh, yeah, that extra scene that they put in there. Yeah, that was pretty funny how he was like dancing around and, you know, screaming.
And pretending to rip open his face and whatnot, or his mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes...
Yeah, he had some funny little one-liners in there. I remember he said something like, I got a date with your mothers or something.
Oh, yeah, I did. That's actually in the deleted scene. He actually says that. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, he said, I gotta go, I have a date with your mothers, and then drops the mic and walks away or something.
So,
yeah, that whole experience, like I said, it was just a great promotional thing for us that took us up several levels, probably.
Alright. Well, that's cool. We got time for a couple more questions. So, Rob, you're, say you're stranded on a desert island. To keep yourself from going insane, what would be the three albums that you would have with you?
I'd say Sabotage by Black Sabbath.
Oh, that's a good one.
Unleashed in the East by Priest. And probably Killers by Maiden.
Ooh, Killers. That's a good one.
Yeah, because those three bands are like, you know, I call those like the main three for me, you know, Sabbath, Priest, and Maiden. That's really what
turned me
into the metalhead that I am.
Yeah, exactly. And Maiden just got nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this morning. I don't know if you heard that yet.
No, I didn't even know that. That's great. I mean, they're definitely deserving of it.
Yeah, they got some big competition ahead of them. I mean, they're going up against people like Jay-Z, Tina Turner, and the Go-Go's.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of funny how some of those artists, are they even rock and roll?
I would say the Go-Go's.
You know, like,
I'd say the Go-Go's are pretty rock and roll.
I don't even know why it's called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame anymore if you're inducting, you know, like, bands that aren't even rock and roll to me. I think the whole thing's a sham. You know, like, how could you judge what is the best, you know?
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, I like the institution itself because I've been to the museum, but I don't like the people who vote these things in because they're elitist buttheads, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's just what I've been hearing over and over by a lot of, you know, older musicians, you know, like, Steve Miller, especially when he did like a press conference or something after he got inducted, and he was just ragging on the whole operation. He was like, you know, I can't even believe the way that these people treated me. Like, he had to buy tickets for his family. Like, they wouldn't even let his family.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah, like, and he was just ragging on the whole operation, and then this one lady, one of the organizers, came up and tried to get him to stop talking, and he was like, no, I mean, you wanted me to come here, let me talk. You know, so,
yeah,
it's just like, Yeah, like you said, it's a whole elitist movement, you know.
Exactly. I agree. Well, really quick, my three picks would probably be Rust in Peace by Megadeth, Van Halen 2 by Van Halen, and then my third one, and this always changes, but I would have to probably go with Black Sabbath, Masters of Reality.
And those are all three great picks as well, like, especially kicking the Van Halen there. I was just like, oh man, I should have picked the Van Halen. That he was one of my favorites.
Mine too. He was the reason I got into rock and roll. I was so sad when I heard he passed. It really broke my heart. Just as much as
yeah, same here. Probably one of the biggest impact guitar players for me.
Yeah, exactly. If anything, he got me into music, and you know, his death hurt me as much as losing my father, or because I lost him a year before Eddie passed. So it really broke my heart in a big way.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the sad thing about life is the ending. There's nothing great that you can do to make it a better thing. You know, it just happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Rob, I got one more question, and we'll make this a short one. So, and this is a big one. Who would you say you listened to more growing up, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
I'd say the Stones, you know, just like their earlier Stone stuff. It just had a grittier edge to it, you know, just like, just to name some songs, Mother's Little Helper and anything off of those early records. They just had a little grittier edge to them, and that's not taking away anything from the Beatles. You know, they're one of the greatest bands of all time, arguably.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really dug the swagger that the old Stones had. It was just a really cool sound to me.
Yeah, I agree. But I go with the Stones too, because their mixture of blues rock with different kinds of genres always really did wonders for them. And also my grandfather, quick side note, who is a pastor today, he actually got to open up for the Stones back in the 60s.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, you know what? If you and I hang out after one of Cannibal Corpse's show for a beer, I will tell you the story of how he met them and this situation that involved sweaty clothes.
I know all about sweaty clubs, so it'll be a good story.
Oh, I will, and let me tell you, it's a funny one, too. Well, Rob, thank you so much for speaking with Uncivil Revolt. I know it's you got a jam-packed schedule ahead of you, but we do appreciate the time you took to speak with us.
Well, yeah, I always appreciate it as well, and, thanks for all the listeners out there. Can't wait to see you out on the road, hopefully someday soon.
Yeah, this was Rob Barrett of Cannibal Corpse, and be sure to go pick up their 15th studio album this April, Violence Unimagined by Metal Blade Records. Be sure to follow Cannibal Corpse on all their social media accounts, so that way you get an idea of when they'll be coming back to your neighborhood once this whole goddamn pandemic is just flushed down the toilet like a piece of dew. So,
yeah.
Rob, thank you very much for the chat. Appreciate it. You stay safe. And if you'll excuse me, I got a date with your mother.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Brandon.
All right. You're welcome, Rob. You have yourself a good day.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Later.
All right. Bye.